Hey, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. How the heck are y'all doing today? My name is JP, your host, and joining me, as always, the very tenacious one, still infected with the COVID, Nick Martin. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. I'm still alive, so there's that.
He's still rocking and rolling, man. I'm very proud of you for, you know, getting out of bed and doing what you got to do to power through these podcasts with you, man. I know you're not feeling too great.
No. But it's worth it, though, man. It's worth it.
Joining
you're in the middle of it. You got COVID right now.
Oh, yeah.
He does. Oh.
We tested positive a couple days ago.
We'll get right into that. Let's do some introductions. Oh, man, it's all good. There's no rules on the podcast. Joining us today is, and I don't want to say former. I think I don't even know if the word retired is fitting. We'll ask him as soon as I finish the introductions. But bottom line, MMA fighter, UFC fighter, Mr. Josh Berkman. What it is, good sir. How are you, man?
I'm doing awesome. Just looking forward to talking to you guys. I can already feel the vibe and the energy.
So is it retired? Is it former? Is both work?
You know, I feel like it's definitely Vikings don't retire. They
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So
yes.
I don't know that I'm ever fully retired, but I'm not currently fighting. I fought professionally for 17 years. I had 49 professional fights, and it was just time for me to walk away from the sport about 2 years ago.
We'll just say not currently competitive.
Not currently competitive, but if the opportunity as arises for me to whoop somebody's ass, you better.
I'm gonna knock that opportunity out right now. So how about it? Tough enough, you know, Brian Lindsay. So how about it? Tough enough. We do a little exhibition. Me, you.
Oh my God.
I don't know what I'm doing.
That's going to be an absolute slaughter, Nick.
It could be the COVID talking, but it sounds like a hell of a lot of fun.
Dude, I am in. I'm buying that pay-per-view right now. I'm already sold.
Listen, if we all get to go to Vegas and Brian sets us up, you know that I'm in 100%.
Let's do it.
We'll just call
it. The reason for fighting was the treatment we got in Vegas.
I can guarantee you this. It's going to be a better fight than Logan Paul Mayweather was.
That's right. This is like my Logan Paul throw out on the internet. I challenge you.
challenge accepted.
All right.
Oh, you poor son of a bitch, Nick. You thought you're feeling bad now. Oh, man. All right, let's jump right in. Josh, the premise of Dadcast, as I'm sure you're aware, is we do our best to talk everything dad, your adventure, your life, your path, your journey that is fatherhood for you. We share a little bit about us. Now, I do say and have to disclose that while we try to do that most of the episode, every episode we have done so far to date, we usually tend to go off the rails at some point, so be forewarned.
I'm ready. I'm ready for all topics. I'm an open book. I'm sure we got to go a little through the history to be able to get to why we're dads the way that we dad.
Absolutely. So first,
I'm an open book. We can go everywhere.
All right, man. That's good. First question right off the bat. It's a rite of passage. You are a dad.
Yeah. Dad, two little boys.
Okay.
Legend and Atlas, and they're 8 and 6 years old.
What were the names again?
Legend is my 8-year-old son, and Atlas is my 6-year-old.
So, man, those names are just so epically good. I can't even. I did a deep dive. I did the whole Wikipedia thing. I did all things Josh Berkman in a little prepping to find out who I'm going to be talking to, you know, as all good guys who do shows should do. And I already did know those names, but, you know, the world doesn't. And I just went right off the bat, damn it. I missed an opportunity to name my son something like that. Although my son's name is pretty cool. His name is Sawyer, but he ain't no legend.
Sawyer's a good one. I got a couple Sawyers that train with me that are kids, and they're all little badasses.
How old are they?
One of them's 6, and the other one's 8.
Okay, so mine's 10. He was first. All right, I always like being first. I'm seeing more and more Sawyers pop up since my son was born, and that was not a name that was popular, to be perfectly honest, when he was born, and now there's more and more coming. It's crazy how that works out.
You know, I did the same thing. I didn't want my boys. I wanted them to have unique names. And I wanted them to have powerful names that had meaning. And Legend was not in the top 500 names. And I didn't know one person named Legend.
I've never known someone.
Now I know two little kids that are also named Legend that are much younger. And both those, their parents are friends with me. And then Atlas, I know quite a few dogs named Atlas. But I didn't know any little boys, and I still don't know anybody named Atlas.
Wow. So father to two sons, isn't it cool?
And since we're on it, right? Yeah. It's Atlas, you know? And then I decided to put Legend's name here, and I'm getting a map and a compass and a mandala for like a legend of a map and a map right there. So my little boys are on the right arm.
Eight six 2010. That's my boy's birthday. Roman numerals right there.
Awesome. And then I might throw the Roman numeral. We'll see how it ends up filling in the space. But I think that's part of the, you know, the experience of fatherhood and being proud is, you know, like sometimes we like to put their names on us and symbols on us. And for me, I mean, that's definitely what that represents, as for you too. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I still got to fill up the other side with the daughters. I've got a few ideas, but I'm having issues because I also want to get a tattoo of myself all over my body, but taller. So it just, you know, Nick, you get it, right?
Totally. Yeah.
So what's it like, man? I mean, being a father to two sons for you, is this, I mean, it's to me personally, I mean, that's the numero uno, number one job that dominates hopefully the rest of my life.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I think that, you know, I've been through a lot of phases in my life, and, you know, I'm 41 years old now. And I basically said the first 30 years of my life, they're for me. I'm not getting married. I'm not having kids. I'm going to be a professional fighter, and I'm going to chase that. And that's what I'm going to do for the first 30 years. And then I knew that after 30, that I was going to want to have a family and be a father. And, you know, I feel like fighting and in this warrior stage of my life in the first 30 years, you know, I was on purpose, and it was very much my purpose. And when I had my first son, that changed a lot, you know. And then when I had my second little boy, you know, my drive to fight changed, and my passion was not being a warrior and a fighter anymore. It was taking those lessons into fatherhood and being a father. And I feel like very much my purpose and my path right now in this stage of my life is to be a good father to my boys.
And that's what we try to promote here on Dadcast. Exactly. You know, we have yet to get a guest on that, if for lack of a better way to put it, is a shitty father. You know, it just,
which might accepted for the other side.
Right. So for all the, you know, shitty fathers out there who may be watching this and you know who you are, turn that around, man. Cause it's the greatest gift bestowed upon any man in the world, in my opinion. And you're missing out.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah. And I think it's one of our greatest honors and greatest titles.
In regards to that, though, how would we book a shitty father, Nick?
I don't know.
I mean, is that...
Calling
all absentee dads, would you like to appear on a podcast? We want to help you out.
If you're a dad and you hate your kids, we want you on Dadcast.
Yeah, you know, I don't think I want them on Dadcast, and they really want some help, you know? Wow. So you said first 30 years of your life dedicated to being a warrior, which you have. I've seen some YouTube videos. Again, Nick, you're totally screwed, buddy.
Whatever.
Listen, my buddy's training Jake Paul. I can get us on that undercard maybe too.
So. Oh, hell yeah. Let's do it.
popular
podcast. You know, X Fighter, that's what they're looking for.
Dude,
So my buddy is the number one ranked jiu-jitsu fighter in the world. He's in a men over 40. So he's actually training me.
Oh, okay.
I'll be a little prepared. Not much.
I said, you're going to need him.
I know.
You guys are already doing it. It's
like it's the masters division. I think that they need to have the older ages and the masters. Yeah. I don't want to fight the kids anymore, but I feel like I can hang with the 40 and 50 year olds. Still.
Exactly. Right.
Okay. What about now? What are you weighing in right now at, Josh?
I'm right around I fluctuate between 200 and 205.
Okay. So
I'm going to have to drop some weight.
Well, no. You keep the weight. I'll keep my weight, and we're going to be close to pushing 600 pounds if it was 2-on-1 against Josh. I think both of us, maybe we got a shot at tapping him out. Maybe, but
I think both of you, there's for sure a shot. Especially if Nick's training in jiu-jitsu and has a little, education. I teach kids camps. That's what my focus is, like teaching kids yoga, martial arts, and movement. Uh-huh. And I always joke with the kids, and I'm like, you guys aren't ready for me. I could beat up at least 8-10 year olds.
Yeah, right. I took that test too.
You know, 2-3 grown men, that's a little tougher.
Yeah, but you know, I wonder if you could. That's so funny. You think about it. 15 8-year-olds. Do you think you could take 15 8-year-olds, Nick?
No.
And they're biting, they're kicking, they're stomping.
Dude, I can barely take my 1-year-old. My little guy's a badass.
So is this it?
That's the thing. They're going to wear you down. They got the endurance to go.
Exactly. All the way right. Through. You need 15 knockout punches quick. I can't believe I just said talking about knocking out 8-year-olds on
the back. My little guy's got the psychological thing going. He throws on Cocoa Melon and then just sits there and laughs at you as you're watching it. Then he falls asleep, and then you find yourself watching it even after he's asleep. You're like, God damn it.
Guilty. Not Cocoa Melon, right? But, you know, for my kid, yeah. It was the little bald-haired Caillou.
See, we had to start with, like, the Airbender and Kung Fu Panda.
Uh-huh.
You know, what's cool now, though, is my boys are 6 and 8. They like to watch fights with me, but they get distracted. But what they'll watch, what we started doing every Friday night is watching the WWE.
Oh,
and they love Roman Reigns. And yeah. I don't know where, they just saw it somewhere. And then they started asking if they could watch wrestling. So every Friday night, we sit down, I get us pizza or Thai food, we get good food. And we sit there and I just get into the wrestling with them. And it's been a really, really cool bonding experience because for so many years it was cartoons and it was, you know, like
right?
The stuff we're talking about.
Yeah.
And now it's like, man, my 6 and 8-year-old want to sit down and they want to watch wrestling and then they want to wrestle. And we're going into this new phase where, you know, they're kind of like starting to like sports. They're liking wrestling. They're liking football. They're liking T-ball. And now they want to sit around and watch wrestling, you know, and it's cool for me as a dad to like for them to come into this new stage and me to be able to like enjoy that with them.
That's awesome. My son, he's 10, 3 years ago, he was about the same time, 6 years old. You know, he saw dad watching Monday Night SmackDown and he sat down and started watching it with me and started really getting into it. And of course, John friggin' Cena was his favorite. And so the next year we bought him tickets for near his 7th birthday. They did a house show up in Eugene, Oregon, close to where we live. And that was one of my very first vlogs that we did, but we got basically ringside. And this was when Roman Reigns was still a good guy. And I'm going to link it up here. So anyone wants to watch it, check it out right there. But he got to meet him in the sense that he got a high five and a hand slap. And the look on his face after meeting, you know, one of his heroes in wrestling was just, to this day, I'll go back and watch that video that I made. And it's just, it's so heartwarming. And you'll be proud of this one, Josh. Today, well, it was supposed to be today. A podcast got rescheduled today. So it's going to actually end up being tomorrow. He's starting his very first boxing class.
Kid, oh, that's awesome.
Kid wants to box. I mean, he comes at me. He asked me if we can go watch Rocky the other night. And I'm like, where is this coming from? He's like, oh, just want to box, Dad. And I'm like, you know what it is? I guarantee I know what it is. He's been watching some Logan Paul YouTube videos. And, you know, whatever the case. If, you know, the people are saying that they're ruining the sport. You know what? I beg to differ. If my 10-year-old son, who showed no interest in competitive sports, is now interested because of that, and it starts a new wave of interest in the sport, I'm in. You know, it's going to get, you know, discipline.
I gotta say, like, just the amount of work that they put in too before they actually fight. If they were just fucking around on YouTube and then go and do the fight, I'd be like, oh, screw those guys. But they actually train. They bust their asses.
They do.
Yeah. So you got to give them some props on that. Sure.
No, I agree 100%. I think that them bringing notoriety to boxing is good for the sport because it's new eyes, you're creating new fans, and boxing needs that because boxing got a little stale, and boxing has to reinvent itself and be a little bit more entertainment because of what the UFC did too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Also, my buddy, that's my college roommate, we played football together, and he was also an Olympic boxer and was a title contender at cruiserweight. His name is BJ Flores, and he's Jake Paul's main trainer. Nice. And for about 2 years, he's like, Berkman, I got to tell you about this Jake Paul kid. Like, he reminds me of you. He's tough. He works hard. So I started paying attention, and he was sending me clips of Jake Paul sparring professional boxers and beating their asses. And then like this kid's running sprints in the hills. They've been training really hard for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I told everybody, I'm like, there's no chance Ben Askren is going to hang with Jake Paul. Jake Paul, I've watched him box. He can really box and he's really focused. And I'm telling you now, I'm buddies with Tyrone Woodley, but Tyrone Woodley is going to get outclassed and outboxed severely by Jake Paul.
You're serious right now. You're calling that right now.
I'm calling that now. And I'm telling you, I have seen this kid's private sparring sessions. And BJ is a great coach. He's very serious. And Jake Paul is working and has been working like a professional boxer for 3 years. The kid's got power. He works as hard as anybody else is working. Not only do I think he's going to beat Tyrone Woodley, but I think he's going to be, I mean, they're being really intelligent about the matchups they're creating.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This kid can legitimately box like a professional fighter, and he's put ass whoopings on really good professional fighters.
Yeah, and sparring with. I haven't doubted that 1 second. What annoys me is the fact, the media, how they portray him. Just some YouTuber. Sure, he's a cocky little punk ass who does what he does on YouTube. That's what got him to fame. But when it comes to, you know, how serious he is about the sport and the craft that is boxing, I mean, you said it yourself. You'd know better than me. Watch out, man. Watch out.
There's another dude he boxed, sparred with before he was getting ready for Ben Askren. And it's a guy that's real tough. I forget his name. And he's in bare knuckle. And he won his fight in the bare knuckle fight. Him and Jake Paul. Jake had three guys lined up. And he was the second guy. And they each sparred 3 rounds with Jake Paul. The dude that won the bare knuckle fight, that's a big, strong guy. I can't remember his name. Bearded, has tattoo, didn't make it out of the second round of sparring with Jake Paul. So, you know, and they brought the other guy in, and because he stopped the guy in sparring. So Jake Paul can box. I promise you, you should put your money on it.
And when is that fight? Do we know? I mean, do you know off the top of your head?
I think it's August.
August. Okay.
It's August. Yeah. I can't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure that I saw the date.
So I'm going to have to do some serious pre-editing here, Nick, because this particular episode that we are talking on right now is honestly not scheduled to drop until September. We're that far ahead. So I'm going to edit that little bit we just talked about. We're going to drop that here in the next few days and maybe
use it as a teaser.
It is. We're going to use that as a teaser, and it's going to gain some traction on, and maybe you see in the future, Josh, that would be amazing. But I don't doubt it. There's one thing we have to admit, though. This will be his biggest test, if you want to call it, in professional boxing, as far as the opponents that he's been set up with.
Absolutely. I think Tyrone, you know, he's got a lot of power. But they're making, in boxing's not the UFC and it's not MMA.
No.
In MMA, you're 5-0, you're fighting another guy that's 5-0. In boxing, you're 26-0 and you're fighting a guy that's 5-31.
Right.
You know, like they set these guys up, and Jake Paul's not doing anything different than, you know, a lot of these other fighters that have risen to the top were treated early on in their professional careers, you know? So, you know, I think they're making smart matchups, and they're giving him the right matchups to kind of give him a little bit of notoriety to say this kid can box. And then they should just slowly amp it up so that people continue to watch and go, this is the guy that's going to beat him. This is the guy that's going to beat him. Until, listen, I really think you might see Jake Paul and Conor McGregor, and it might be one of the biggest pay-per-views that we've ever had in the history of combat sports.
Jake,
and that's what they're after.
Jake, much bigger than Conor, though.
I mean, look, Logan was much bigger.
Right.
It's entertaining. Oh,
absolutely. You know,
no way. They're not going to say, oh, this YouTuber can be bigger because he's fighting one of the best champions the UFC's had.
Yeah.
You know, that also fought Mayweather and maybe didn't do as good as Mayweather that his brother did.
I know. So, right. It's bottom line, I'm buying that pay-per-view, right?
All of us are. I mean, I'm all about the entertainment aspect and the eyes seeing the sport. And, you know, like you're talking about your son being in boxing, right? I've let my kids guide me. I trust my kids and who they are. And I'm just trying to kind of guide them in the right direction. And when I stopped fighting, my little boy asked me if he could wrestle. And so I not only had him wrestle, but I took over the wrestling program at the high school for the youth program. And then my kids were like, "Hey dad, we want to box a little bit." And Legend was 4 at the time and Atlas was 2. So this is about 4 years ago. And now what I do is I run kids camps and I run a martial arts school that focuses on kids. And what we do is we have these kids come in and we teach them breath work and meditation. We teach them yoga, jujitsu and wrestling and kickboxing. And we teach them all kinds of animal movements. And basically what we're doing is we're teaching these kids not to be the ones that are preyed on, not the kids that are going to be bullied.
Right.
And this kid that walks around like this, the bullies look for them because they're looking for the weak kids to prey on. So we need to teach these kids. Anybody pick on them. And if anybody does try to pick on them, we teach them and give them the skills that they need to have to be able to defend themselves. And our kids are walking around, you know, proud of themselves. We teach them the Conor McGregor walk. We teach them to do lion movements. And I think just off of like what we're talking about is I think that what we have missed in educating our kids in schools and teaching them logic is teaching them how to defend themselves so that they don't feel weak and insecure, because the weak and insecure ones are the ones that are constantly walking around trying to prove themselves.
That's physically and mentally.
Yes, physically and mentally, you know. And then when you teach these kids to, you know, walk around to be confident, to defend themselves, not only are they happier with themselves, but they're happier with the environments that they're in. And then they're sticking up for the kids that are being picked on and bullied. And that's how we're going to not only change our society, you know, but it's like, no, we're going to teach our kids to be strong and powerful so that they can stand up for each other, so that our communities are stronger and can stand up for ourselves. You know, because I think that too much in society right now, we're just after the logic and we're just after, you know, the accumulation of things, when it's like, no, we need to teach our young men and our young women to be strong and to be powerful and to be confident so that we don't continue down this, you know, road that we're going down of letting weaker men, you know, be in charge of the decisions that we're making in life.
Wrong button. Maybe. No, no. You're getting applause right now. I don't know if that's coming through on your side, but yeah, I got a cool button that you know, I'll do it again. Yeah. There's some more applause because that was well said, and I don't think I could say it any better. Is it a school that you have? Where is that run out of? So if anyone's interested in looking that up, where can they go?
Yeah. So what I'm doing right now is I'm running summer camps, and the summer camps I'm running, I had a studio that has, massage and yoga and it's a big, nice studio. Asked me if I would come and run, kids camps this summer. So I decided to run these kids camps and I'm running them at, it's a place called Brick Canvas in Utah. And that's what we basically teach these kids. Not to mention they're doing water gun fights. So and we teach them the Wim Hof method. So we teach them to get into ice baths. And at first they panic and they freeze. But by the end, all these kids can sit down in the water and go and have no emotion, no anything. They just know how to breathe and sit in these baths, you know. And then we do the same thing with, like, the Nerf guns. At first, some of these kids get hit, and they cry, and they get sad. And by the end, they're learning to just stand proud, that it doesn't hurt that bad, that they're not going to die. And, you know, we're just – that's what we do. And what I call it is American Who Hit You, which is my martial art. Like Brazilian jiu-jitsu,
right?
But I never went to Brazil. I didn't learn for Brazilian. So I started to call it my own martial art, American Who Hit You.
American Who Hit You?
Hit You. And I spell it WHU-HITU. Okay. Like Who Hit You, or like jiu-jitsu, but Who Hit You.
Gotcha. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, we just, because when I started fighting, you had to go over here and do boxing. You had to go over here and do jiu-jitsu. And then you had to go over here and do your stretching or your whatever else it was. And you know, so I was like, no, I'm not just a jiu-jitsu guy. And I'm not just a boxer. I'm a fighter. And I take everything that works and I leave what doesn't. And that's why I just created my own style, you know, which was a little bit everything. And now that's what I'm teaching these kids. But I'm not just teaching them how to fight. I'm teaching them how to, we're teaching them how to breathe. We're teaching them how to move. We're teaching them how to, you know, also defend themselves so that they can have this full compass of flexibility, strength, and agility. Because the way you do anything is the way you do everything. So we want them to teach them to be like that in whatever situations come in life so that they can just, you know, use their breath and their emotions to just be strong little human beings. So we're doing it in Utah, and I'm out here. So right now, when I did my transition from when I retired from fighting, when I stopped for a while, I needed to heal my body. And so I found this guy named Cameron Shannon. He runs Budokan. And what Budokan is Budokan's a complete martial arts system. So they teach you the mind game of the meditation and the breathing exercises. They also have yoga for the, which yoga is like, it's just a fight without an opponent.
Right.
So like warrior one, warrior two, warrior three is all about a sword fight. They just took the weapons away from you, you know, and then he does jujitsu and kickboxing, and it ties it all into just one system. And so I tied into Cameron's system so I could learn some of these other healing modalities. And I'm out here in Montana right now doing another workshop for the next week before I start my summer camps in Utah in July and August.
Wow, sounds like a busy guy. Now, is Legend and Atlas... Oh, hello, love. Come here. I want you to meet Josh. This is my daughter, Avery. Apparently, just coming in from a play date from the friends in the pool. You all good?
Right. Nice to meet you, Avery. Thanks for letting us talk to your dad and hang out for a little while.
Say thank you. She can't hear. He said, thanks for letting me hang out and talk with you.
Thank you.
All right, cool. Say. Okay. Legend Atlas. Anytime my little girl shows up, that's it. That's.
But I'm the same way. I go, hold on one sec, guys. My kids are here.
Yeah, and now I forgot what I was going to say. Now I remember. Legend and Atlas, are they still fighting? Are they still doing that? Or have they fought and you're letting them and you're totally cool with that?
Yeah, so this is kind of like what happened is I had a gym, but I had a partner in my gym. And when COVID happened, he wanted everybody to wear masks because he was an older guy, and I understood that. But I was like, I'm not going to put these kids in masks. I'm not going to – it's just not – I'm okay with everybody else wanting to do it, but I'm not going to do it. And he decided that through that like he had a chance to get out of his lease. So we shut down our gym.
Right.
And our gym did really good. And I saved some money when I was fighting. So I was able to take that period of the COVID lockdown. I got to take the time off. And what I did is I pulled my kids out of school because I didn't want them, you know, having to deal with all the things that went in school. And I homeschooled my kids. But what I also did is I started a movement school where these kids that were homeschooled would come in and they would do everything that I just told you about.
Right.
And then the lockdown lifted. And the sports started back up. So I started coaching Atlas in T-ball, and I started coaching Legend in flag football. Yeah. And teaching flag football to 10 8-year-olds and 7-year-olds is the hardest thing I've ever had to coach and teach in my life.
I bet, man. I used to be that kid.
I mean, and just they didn't know how to hand off yet, to throw the ball yet.
Right.
A running back, and I had to teach him like from scratch, you know.
Well, good job. Speaking of football, go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. You're good.
I was going to say you gave me the perfect, you know, transition question. So obviously, you're a sport fan. This is the part where Nick, even though he hasn't said much in the past few minutes, he's just going to completely check out for this segment.
We need to take it easy on him and let him get a little rest. Got a big fight coming up.
I should probably text Brian Lindsay right now and make sure we can make this happen.
If anybody can make it happen, it's Brian Lindsay.
Yes, he's the CEO of Vegas.
Absolutely.
Actually, you know what? We'll ask him tomorrow night. You'll be on the. We'll have you come on the. The dad.
Are you free tomorrow, 7 o'clock Pacific, for like 30 minutes?
Let me make sure I know where I'm at. That's 8 o'clock I absolutely can do it. Tie me in. We'll talk to Brian.
Okay.
We'll get our trip set up to Vegas.
So what we're doing tomorrow night is it's a Father's Day special. So we're going to have like probably 20 squares on this screen here of past guests we've had over the past few months. Some very famous, some not so famous. Whatever the case, it's going to be fun. It's just a quick say hi to everyone. Wish all the fathers out there who listen and watch Dadcast a happy Father's Day. And whatever else trouble we can get into in 20 minutes, it seems fun. So, yes, tomorrow we'll confirm that with Lindsay.
Yeah. Send me that Zoom link. I'll get on there.
All right. Now the question, football fan, yes?
Yeah. Yep.
Who is your
college football, so you, big football fan.
Who's your pro team?
Chicago Bears.
You're a Bears. I got no problem with that. See, my lady's a huge Bear fan.
Kid. I was born in the 80s. And in 85, you know, my uncle, the Bears were playing the Giants. And he's like, I'll bet you his favorite team was the Giants. The Bears whooped him. Mm-hmm. I won $5, bought a mug, and the Bears have been my favorite team ever since.
All right.
Never wavered. People are like, who else do you like? I'm like, what do you mean? I only like the Bears.
I know. I don't get that one. You know, if I had to pick, I'm a Raider fan, so I'm a perennial loser of at least this century. But they always ask, who's your second favorite team? I'm like, what? College? Okay. I can do that. But what's up, baby girl? Do you need something? Yes. College team.
The clock's on and the, you know, kids come in because that's what this is about, 100%.
Yeah, right? Just saying, you know, I worked in radio for 20 years. If that scenario had just happened, the day job, FM, panic would ensue. The bosses would freak out. This is Dadcast, man. They want to come on hang out? Absolutely. Was that today? No, it was yesterday. We did a podcast yesterday. I invited his kids on, and they were on for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, if I was home, my kids would be right here. They'd be talking shit with us.
Yeah, it's that'd be fantastic. Who's your college team?
The Utes. You know, being from Utah, I was. I played at Dixie State. I got All-American at Dixie State. At tailback, I had 1,500 yards, 18 touchdowns, got, you know, All-American, had a full ride to go up to the University of Utah. It was Urban Meyer's first year at the U. I had always wanted to play for the University of Utah. And that summer, there was a local tournament for NHB fights. And I had never trained martial arts. I was only a wrestler and been in a lot of street fights and was like, right, I'm going to enter this. And I entered the NHB tournament. I lost the first fight. I laid in the middle of the ring like, this is the coolest thing I've ever done. I dropped out of school on that Monday, told them to give my scholarship to somebody else. I was going to be a professional fighter.
Wow. And this after taking a loss.
After taking a loss, I was just like, this is the hardest, toughest thing I ever did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See? It's that, perseverance and that mindset, man, is why you were successful and continue
like that's to be successful. After Josh kicks my ass.
Listen, I'm not even going to hit you. I'm just going to give you some chokes.
That's if you can catch me.
You're going to hit him.
Maybe open hand.
If he can catch you, let me shed a little light on this scenario here. 5'8", almost 300 pounds. He ain't moving that fast.
And 42 years old. Better movers, the better fighter.
I know. I'm pretty fluffy too these days. I'm like 5'11", 270 right now, and I'm not in shape, but I could still move around like I'm 180 still. So it's, yeah, but you know.
What matters most is I used to have a beard like this, and I think you guys, you know, if we talked the first time. And now with your guys' beards and my shaved face, I feel pretty and you guys look tough. So I'm missing my beard right now.
He just trimmed it, man. Yeah, this thing used to be crazy too, and it's funny, Nick, literally last week, did you say to grow the whole thing back and get rid of the whaler?
Yeah, grow it all back.
He said, grow the mustache back. And I swear, like the next day, my son just randomly runs out of his room, points at me and starts laughing. And I'm like, well, what, dude? What's so funny? He's like, I just watched a video where you had a mustache and you look ridiculous. I'm like, man, it wasn't a mustache. That was the whole beard. He's like, I know, it looked lame. So if I did have any thoughts about growing that part back, my son just yanked that right back for the time being.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Sawyer.
My boys got so mad when I shaved. They're like, you're not the king anymore, Dad. You know, Lions have to have their beard, you know, and I was like, it'll grow back. That's why I shaved it.
Exactly. It'll grow back. Okay, here she comes again. What's up, little girl? Right
there. Oh, see, there we go.
What was that? I missed it.
That's what we were working with right there.
Yeah.
He looks so much tougher. It's like a prison when you shave.
Yeah, see, that picture scares me.
Right.
I'm not scared of that.
I agree. Yeah. You know what they call a man without a beard?
Not a man.
A woman.
A woman. Exactly. Yeah. You, for the record, your words, not mine.
Yeah. I mean, if I tease people when I have mine, I have to give it to myself when I don't.
How long has it been since you shaved it?
It's been about a month. I had it for about a year.
All right.
And then so shaved it just because.
It was just I'm going to shave it for the heck of it type deal?
Just out of nowhere. I just one day woke up and was like, I'm over it.
Yeah, that's what happened with me too. I did a whole like 2 year growth where all I did was, you know, keep it clean and shaped. And so we're talking little itty bitty trims. And then I messed up on one of those one days and it just took a big fat chunk out of it. So I had to bring it down. And then from that point forward, it just got lower and lower and lower and lower until this is basically what I'm working with.
Yeah. This is the lowest mine's been in probably 5 years.
Sounds personal.
Yeah, I think this time when I start to grow it back, that I'm going to keep it probably for the longest period of time. I wanted to have the beard like the statue on my arm.
Yes, you need to go straight wizardry, Gandalf.
Yeah, nice. It's going to be like, I'm just letting it go for a few years.
Nice.
Well, if the kids say it.
Yeah, you got to let my kids know their dad's, you know, the king again.
Legend and Atlas, the king beard. That's hilarious. They never referred to me as the king. They just said I look stupid with a mustache. Got to get no respect.
It comes from the Lion King. You know? It's like, you know, Mufasa has this giant mane.
Yep.
And they're like, come the other lion. I'm like, oh, he's the little boy. He's not the king yet. So they've always remembered that. And dad's always had a beard. So when I shaved, they're like, ha, ha, ha.
They still made fun of. That's hilarious. Wow. So, man, it sounds go ahead.
So I was going to finish on that part with traditional sports, right? I tell my kids, like, you should play baseball. Like, it's good to be around, you know, and have that team. And I, my son, Legend, I'm like, let's play flag football. Like, let's do something else. And Legend says to me, I don't want to play on a team sport, Dad. And I'm like, I know, but I want you to. I want you to just try to experience it and learn it. He goes, Dad, I want to fight. And I'm like, I know, son, but you're 8 years old and like there's not a lot of fights for you right now. So like let's train wrestling and let's train boxing and let's get into this jiu-jitsu and I will teach you. But let's try some of these other sports too, because I just want you to try different things. And he goes, but Dad, I already know I want to fight and I don't want to wrestle. I want to punch people too. And I'm like, so yeah, that's how my kids feel. My little boy Atlas, he's going to be great. I already know he's going to be great because he's just the way that he moves, and his brother's tougher than him. So I have two little boys that saw their dad fight, that sat next to Dana White in the cage, that watched their dad fight. And I try to show them videos of me fighting and they're like, whatever, Dad, let's watch Roman Reigns. You can't hang with Roman Reigns. Right. I'll whoop Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Atlas Legend, I hate to break it to you, but the only person in that ring that may stand a chance is a guy by the name of Brock Lesnar. Okay. So
that's a big human and size doesn't matter.
But I mean, that's the only legit, you know, fighter, in WWE. I mean, everyone's got a puncher's chance, I suppose. But yeah, if I'm dollars to pesos, I'm taking you over Roman Reigns, even right now with no training.
Well, my kids aren't. They think they can all beat us. I'm like, no. But they have a love for combat sports.
Right.
I try to get them into the other stuff just to give them experience. But I really believe that I'm going to have two little boys that are martial artists. One of them will probably run gyms and be very business oriented. And the other one's going to be like, I want to be the best.
Now, let me ask you this. Is this it? Is there no more children in the future of Josh Berkman, or is the possibility of a daughter still on the table?
You know, I've always thought that I was going to have a daughter, you know, and I was married to the boy's mom for 4 years and she had a really hard time. She liked the idea of the fighting from the outside, but once she was in it and saw how focused I was and realized that like it takes a toll on the family. It was hard on her, and I wasn't done yet. And I knew that my boys would also probably go into this profession, and I wanted to be able to guide them in it without having her upset with me all the time. So we decided to not be married anymore. And, but I really enjoyed having a family. I enjoyed having a wife, and I'm definitely in a different phase in my life now, but I would just need a woman that knew how to like support that maybe a little bit better. And if I found that, then I think I would possibly have another child.
All right.
But, you know, I'm 41 years old. I'm really, really enjoying where me and my boys are at right now. And if I didn't have any, and if I didn't get married, well, I'm really enjoying this phase of fatherhood.
Fair enough. That guy right there.
Yeah.
At least
yeah.
He's on my screen. He's right over there. 41 years old, right, Nick?
Yep.
And he has a 1-year-old baby.
That's right.
And you got six.
I got six, yeah.
That he knows about.
Shit.
I got two that I'm sure of.
But exactly. There's something to be said, and this is 41.
What was that?
Nick, you're how old?
41.
41. You just had a 1-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a whole new ball game after 40, man. It's like the body's different. It's way more tiring. The cool thing is there's more patience. You're actually financially way more prepared this time. So,
right. And yeah. The older ones can help out a little bit too now, right?
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I was close to that age. My daughter just turned 8. I'm 46. So, you know, I was a pretty old dad too when it came down to it.
Well, you know, too, I mean, we're different now, right? Our lifespans are different. I think I think that I could be a father in my, you know, and have new kids in my 40s. I would probably just need a younger wife for vitality.
There you go. That's right. Yeah.
I might be 45, but she's 30, and that's okay.
Well, that's where Nick's rolling right now. How old's Danielle?
35.
35, so, 4, 6. Yeah. I still got you beat, son. My lady's 9-10 years younger than me. So doing well, just.
Yeah, about like that kind of thing, too, is I think that, you know, my kids have actually helped heal me and helped me be younger, you know, by wanting to wrestle with them. I could have walked away from fighting and been like, I'm old, I did this, I'm beat up, I you know, but my kids didn't give me that choice. They were like, Dad, come wrestle with me. Dad, teach me boxing. And I felt like I owed it to my kids to continue to like take care of myself, to heal myself, and to get back in a place where not where I can fight, but where I can be active and teach them something that I love. And that's been the greatest lesson of retiring from fighting is I retired from the competition and the fighting, but I didn't retire from being a martial artist and expecting the best of myself mentally and physically so that I could have the energy to be able to groom these little lions that want to be fighters. And it's like, no, I had to become young again.
Yeah.
And I learned that by being around them and by hanging out with them and being like, let's have Nerf gun fights. Let's have water gun fights, you know, and it's really given me my youth and my vitality back, you know? And so,
It's definitely the coolest part with being an older dad too. It's like, you know, I'm up at 5 a.m. sometimes 3 a.m. hitting the gym 6 days a week and then making sure I have the energy to chase the little guy around. And then my older kids, you know, I play basketball with them and help them with football and that kind of stuff. So,
yeah, you know, I think that's one of the great lessons. It's like, yes, we're here to protect them. But I think that they're guiding us just as much. I think there's a lot of lessons that we really pay attention to our kids, you know, and the things that we get upset with them about are also really probably good lessons for us to pay attention to ourselves in, you know, it's like, Legend, clean up your mess. Well, Dad, pick up your can.
Okay. Touche. You know,
yeah, exactly.
You mentioned it earlier, man, the Lion King. It's the circle of life. We were kids. We complained about that. Now we're older and we're complaining about what our parents complained about to our kids. And they're complaining right back at us about the things that we said then and around and around and around we go.
100%. I mean, I catch myself all the time and I'm like, listen, one day you'll get it.
Yeah. Now, not that I'm pressing the issue, but I'm just throwing this out there for you, man. If ever you get the chance, being a dad to a daughter is the whole different ball game, man. You can ask him, you can ask me, and ask any one of your friends that are dads to daughters. It's hard to explain. You know, when I had my son, it was awesome. I mean, I got my son first right off the bat. You know, the bloodline is going to continue. The name will go on. You know, I got a son. You know what I'm talking about? It's a son.
100%.
And then I had this baby girl, and it's just so different. It's crazy. If you ever get the chance, give it a try. That's all I'm saying.
Well, that's why I say the boys are on the right arm. The left arm is, you know, and I feel like if I do, you know, I felt like in younger, I was having all boys. If I would have kept going, they would all came out boys.
Yeah.
I think I was a different phase in life where like, yeah, I think if I found a woman I loved and, you know, she could add to what me and the boys have, you know, and become part of our family, then I would absolutely like expand, you know, into that. And I'm open to that. I wasn't open to that when my kids were in diapers and when they were, you know, I was like, no, this time's for me and them, you know, and I got divorced. And when I got divorced, I said I wouldn't be a different father than I was when I married. So I wake up when my kids wake up, when they're with my dad, when they're with their mom. I go to sleep when my kids go to sleep, when they're with their mom. And I've kept the same schedule as my kids so that I could be on the same page as my kids, you know. And I think now I'm at a place where it's like, okay, we really got to enjoy that because you don't get that time back, you know. Nope. And it's just like I never wanted to like have any kind of regret about the way that I was with my kids, you know, and I paid attention to those, you know, everybody says that enjoy the time. It happens fast. And it was like, no, after refining, you know, I took time off to just be a father, you know, and for the last 2 years, I've been able to coach my kids. I've been able to educate my kids in school. And, you know, there's parts of it that hurt me financially, but I'll always be able to make money. I understand how to make money. But I won't be able to have that precious time back with my kids at 4, 5, 6 years old.
That's, you know, for damn sure. Now, exactly. And I also thought when you were talking to me here, that space that's empty on your arm, there's always room for granddaughters. Just saying.
Hey, that's a great point.
We'll give it 15, 20 years preferably, but you know, there's space and options then as well. And which is a realm that I haven't gone into yet. Nick, of all of us, Nick's closest.
Yeah, I am the closest.
I mean, you've got
how old is your oldest?
He's 22 and he's in the army. So yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's a serious.
Yeah, he's actually gonna be back. I think next week he'll be on leave finally. He's been stuck in Seoul for like almost 2 years.
Welcome back, son. Yeah. I've got the Rona.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I know. I'll have to bring him. If he's going to be visiting, so I'll have to bring him in on the podcast just to say, hey.
Right, we'll tell him he's got a corner his dad.
Exactly.
So you covered with us earlier, lying on the floor, losing your first fight, which is what inspired you to continue to be the fighter and take this path. What was the feeling after the first win?
Well, man, that was one of the best feelings ever, you know, because when the loss wasn't super hard because I didn't train for it.
Right.
It was more like, man, it was showing me my path and my purpose, you know. And then I was like, I beat the guy up for first round and the first minute of the second round. And then I picked him up and I slammed him on his head and he armbarred me. And I was like, what was that?
Right.
You know, that's the Gracie stuff. That's the jiu-jitsu stuff. So then I went back in and I started training, you know, and I started going to jiu-jitsu. And about 2 months later, I took the fight and I was a little more nervous this time. I kind of knew what I was getting into, but I worked hard. I worked hard to get ready for this fight. And I went out and I destroyed the kid. And when I did, it was like confirmation to me that like, yeah, this was the right move. You know, and then I went and I won 9 fights in a row. And my third fight, I got to rematch the kid that was 9-0 that beat me because he was 9-0 and he had won the first tournament.
Right.
And that was my first fight. And they're like, oh, well, he's first seed and you're the 8th seed. So you have to fight him.
Right.
You know, and I went out and I beat him in 3 seconds.
Boom. 3 seconds.
He came out, he tried to throw a front kick. I body lock, picked him up and slammed.
And that was it. Good night. This is what you call an uncomfortable. Come on, internet. Come back, Josh. You're frozen, man, just so you know. Don't know if you can hear us, but you're frozen. This is the longest freeze we've ever had, Nick.
All right. Well, we're waiting for him to unfreeze.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm scared. Oh, don't worry. We'll see. He might pop back on.
I'm scared for the fight. 3 seconds isn't very long. I want to last at least 35 seconds.
It's exhibition. Of course they're going to make it work for you, man. All right. Let's see if he logs back in with us. That would be a dang shame. I want to say goodbye. We're getting close, and I still had a couple questions for him. Well, let's see if he logs back in. Oh, okay. We lost him. Let's see if he comes back on.
I lost you, too. Oh, no, you're there. Never mind. I'm like, you're not in the top of the screen anymore.
Well, I got to tell you what. I don't know if he's going to come back on with us, but I can tell you that this episode is sneaky good. Like, this is one of my more favorite episodes that we've ever recorded, man. I really enjoyed talking with him and hearing, you know, his journey and how he raises children. He's raising little warriors, man, little lions, like he said. That's pretty awesome. I hope he comes back so we can say goodbye to him. Yeah. You texting him?
Yeah.
Everyone else, pretty good episode, huh? Right? Since I have the opportunity, and if you've made it this far into the episode, thank you so much for A, listening on whoever you listen to your podcast. And if you happen to be watching this on YouTube, please, man, we'd really appreciate if you haven't done so already is go ahead and click that subscribe button right down there and the bell for notifications and, you know, give us a thumbs up. If you didn't like it, smash the thumbs down. That's all good. And leave us a comment on what you thought about this episode and any questions you may have for Josh and any questions or ideas on future possible guests. Well, I'm going to give it another minute and a half. And if not, we're going to say goodbye. Which would be a darn shame. How you feeling, buddy? You doing okay? You hanging in there?
Yeah. No, I'm just like, I feel like I'm soaked in sweat.
Oh.
There we go.
Yes.
All right.
Figured it out.
Oh, good, man. So, yeah, you froze on us, and then I chit-chatted for another 30 seconds, and then we had a little conversation with ourselves going, I hope he comes back. That would be a damn shame. I secretly think, honestly, and I'm looking right at you, man, this has been one of my favorite episodes I've ever recorded.
That's awesome, man. I appreciate that. Fun to talk to you guys about this stuff.
Your approach to fatherhood and, you know, just your whole way you do it, I love it. I think it's fantastic. It's great. It's what the world needs more of. And amazing.
Well, thanks. You know, I had a good father, and he didn't have a great father. You know, his father had a harder upbringing, and my dad's goal was always to do better for us than his father did for him. And I feel like I owe my kids that too.
Absolutely.
For our lineage I don't know if I can do better, but to try to take the lessons that my dad gave me and try to give them a little bit better. You know, and I think that, you know, the world's in an interesting place right now. And I really believe that our children are the future, but we're their present. And right. If we don't do our job in the present, then the future is bleak. But if we do our job, then it's bright and we'll see the changes in the world that we want to see.
There you go. Write it down. Quote him. Josh Berkman. Father of the Year candidate 2021 and moving on. All right, man. So we are real close to be getting out of time on this episode. I want to lighten the mood just a touch before we end things. We're going to do like a barrage of random quick questions that Josh Berkman has to answer if he's down. Are you ready?
I'm all right. Like I said, open book.
All right. One thing you can't leave home without.
I feel like, unfortunately, it's my phone. Well, we're all like that these days.
That's pretty much everyone's answer. Now, I'm going to disclose. I love it when I ask this question because I like to disclose the best answer I ever heard and who gave me that best answer when I asked that question. Like I said, used to work in radio, so I had an opportunity to talk to a lot of people. I asked that question of George Thorogood. You know what George Thorogood is, right?
No. Who?
Musician. George Thorogood. Bad to the bone. Ba-na-na-na-na. Okay. Yeah. Answer that question. What is one thing you cannot leave home without? His answer, kissing my wife, kissing the girlfriend, kissing the lady, whatever the case. And I went, you know what? Damn, that's a good answer.
All single, right. So I can give that one, but that's a good one.
Fair enough. You know, on the flip, it could have been kissing or hugging the kids goodbye, whatever 100%. The case. Second question, favorite food?
Pizza. Pizza's always, I can eat that all the time.
You are stuck on an island and there's no pizza available. What are you eating?
Sushi.
All right. You could probably find plenty of that on an island.
Yeah, there we go. I got that option.
Top two favorite movies.
Top two, Gladiator and Braveheart.
Are you not entertained? I almost did that in a Scottish accent. I was going to mix it. Oh, you're not entertained. There you go. All right.
I think I threw that into one of my post-fight interviews just because.
You got to do the whole, you know.
You're not entertained.
That's real good. Nick, come on. Give me one.
You want me to answer or you want me to ask?
No, ask a question or answer. Your pick, man. This is the Flash 5 part. Go.
You're asking the crazy COVID guy here. You go first. ask me.
What is currently on your radio in your car or the last thing you listen to?
Tyler Farr.
Okay.
You know, it's Chris Stapleton. I've been enjoying him with my road trip music, Broken Halos, Traveler, Millionaire. Chris Stapleton's been on my music for a minute.
What's your dream car?
Yeah, you know, trucks. I had it. It was the 2016 Titan. You know, Tundra. It was the truck I always wanted, and I could have. I feel like at that point I could have bought anything I wanted, and I went out and I got the Tundra.
Bam! But right. Oh,
four door Maserati.
Okay.
Badass car.
That wouldn't be bad. Might I recommend a Tesla Cybertruck in the future?
I mean, those are pretty sweet. You know, I've looked at them. I was like, what do you think? But I would go with the new Ford Bronco before I would go with that Tesla.
Fair enough.
That one is sick. I just saw one of those. I'm like, oh, my gosh. See, my dream car is the Ford Bronco 2 from Speed.
Oh, like,
yeah. That right there.
Favorite boxer of all time?
Ooh, that's, you know, I got to say Ali, but I also think Mayweather. I love Ali. I love Ali for just everything that he was. I feel like as much as he was a boxer, he was a prophet.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I learned more and emulated Mayweather. Maybe he, you know, I learned a lot from watching him and studying him also.
Did Conor McGregor fight Khabib in his prime?
No. Conor McGregor, it's hard to go to work and fight when you're sleeping in silk pajamas.
Exactly.
And Conor McGregor was enjoying his money and his fame and his distillery more than he was focused on the kind of focus he had early in his career.
I know this is a hypothetical and we'll never know the answer, but this is more of an opinion. Does Conor McGregor, if he has the eye of the tiger, beat Khabib 4 years prior?
I think that Conor McGregor, if he was at his best, could have definitely gave Khabib everything he could have handled and more. I think that you saw that maybe he could have defended the takedown and things like that. But yes, I think Conor McGregor could have gave Khabib every bit of what he wanted if he would have found his prime in his early 30s.
All right. Is he going to beat Poirier in the third fight?
I want to say yes, but I thought for sure he was going to beat him in the first one.
I know.
I mean, Conor's got $150 million in the bank, and I'm not sure that he has the hunger that he has. Conor was good because he was a dick and he didn't care.
Yeah.
But he's an advanced martial artist who's found a little bit more peace and a little more humility, and I'm not sure that you can come back once you find that.
All right. Final question. You shed 50 pounds. You fight Conor. Do you win?
I whoop Conor's ass.
I'm sorry. I'm still getting over a little cough too, man.
Especially in my prime. When I was in my prime, I worked. Back, though.
You got to be a little more
intense. Got to have the beard back. I agree.
Okay.
And when I was in my prime from 31 to 35, nobody touched me, including John Fitch, who was like, everybody's going to whoop this guy. You know, I was a huge underdog. I went out and beat John Fitch in 41 seconds. I went out and beat Tyler Stinson in the first round. I beat everybody in the first round, and I beat everybody easily. And if I would have been in the UFC from 31 to 35, I would have done it to everybody there too.
And there you have it, party people. Josh Berkman, amazing father, fighter. Gosh, I want to say humanitarian, teacher of the children. Thank you so much for hanging out and coming on Dadcast, man. It has been an extra special episode for me. I don't know about Nick, but I
Nick, you know, I mean, he's got I'm glad you were here and for emotional support, but go get some rest, take some deep breaths, get in an ice bath to mess. Cause listen, COVID messes with your respiratory system and your nervous system. So you got to take some deep breaths and you got to get that nervous system to calm down. And the best way to do it is to get your ass in an ice bath and let it all shrink up and open back up. And I promise you, it'll make you feel better. And
I'm going to try that.
Would you recommend he also takes it a little easier than normal?
Yeah, I mean, you got to rest, but I think I think that our nervous systems are under attack.
You know what right he now. Told me today? He told me this morning that he went out to the friggin' gym this morning to work out. Granted, they separated and did it outside, but I'm like, bro, you are got the COVID. You got the Rona, man. I get it. You're a badass. You're tenacious, but you need to get the rest, man. You could take a day or two off.
Coaches are like, don't be a pussy. Go sweat it out. You're going to be fine. That's how I feel.
Yeah, and I think the key right now is you don't want to create more inflammation in the body. You need to take some deep breaths. You need to take an ice bath. And if you do that, I promise you, you'll get better faster.
And you might even be 100% to fight Josh in a couple months. Boom. And on that note, once again.
But either way, you're not getting out of it, so.
I'm in, 100%.
I like it. We'll get Ryan on the phone and we'll make this happen.
I cannot wait to film this. Yeah, and we'll see you. Well, what's funny in the whole, this is going to be inception-y, but we will see you tomorrow night. But all of you watching this, we already did tomorrow night 2 months ago. And on that note, thank you very much, Josh Berkman. It's been a pleasure once again for coming on Dadcast. We appreciate you. You have an amazing rest of your day, and I can't wait to meet you in person. And I honestly can't wait to see you tap him out.
I mean, it's going to be a fun weekend in Vegas.
Everyone else, thank you so much for hanging out, listening, and watching. We will see you next week. See ya.